Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, broadcasting in Philadelphia in the tri-state area. And the entire world can listen in by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and clicking on the link on the left-hand side where it says Listen Live Now. Well, being involved in an organization like this, trying to promote jobs, is a very positive thing. This past weekend, I had the opportunity to go to a number of events, and it was really good to hear from people, hear that they're going out there and really doing their thing to help American workers, support our businesses, talk about self-sufficiency and so many other things. And as you know, keeping a positive message to support American workers takes some professionals working together. And I will say without question that we have some very good professionals on our panel, and they include Larkin Connolly, who's joining us today, Mark Andel, who is the founder of a great movement, the Made in America store, and also Rich Loges. Now, guys, you know, as I know, and all of our listeners know, we don't need people only complaining about problems. We need people discussing solutions, and jobs for people to support themselves is a very, very important part of what we do. Also, talking about education, getting back to skills, having people know what they're going to do for the rest of their lives. It's very important. And also urging people to go out there and support the businesses close to them and the businesses far from them that are selling products with a Made in America label. This is a beautiful message, and I want to thank the panelists who continue to volunteer their time to be part of this effort. I will say we had a wonderful election today. We're going to talk about it today. The days of should've, could've, and would've are gone. We have to be problem solvers, not bull artists. First, I would like to thank Mark Andel for all his efforts. Last week, he gave us some nice reports on what he was doing there, the awards that he received, going out there, spreading the message about American Made. Larkin Connolly, another very special person who is always available to us through his movement of SCORE. And this is where we're going to get some results by getting people knowledgeable about what they're going to do with the rest of their life. And then, of course, Rich. And my thanks to Rich for making the arrangements last week to welcome our guest, Nick Triano, who, by the way, was really well received by our listeners. And he's going to be running for United States Congressman in Pennsylvania as an independent in November. And Rich, I'm going to start off as a journalist and as a businessman. I want to ask Rich to start us off today and give us a thought on last week's broadcast.
Well, guys, good morning. Good morning to our listeners as well. As some brief feedback, Michael, I'll tell you that amongst my contacts, friends, family, business associates who listen to our show, I had as much feedback response positive from last week as any broadcast since I've been on the show, which is now over a year and a half. And some of the things that were said by Nick came as a shock to many of those listening, and as I stated before and I said as a follow-up to that, getting shocked is the easy part. The hard part is taking some action from it. So I'm very interested to hear how you guys saw in Philly, Pennsylvania as a whole with primaries, your own feedback. I've said for quite a long time that the primaries are just the first layer of exclusion to keep people off ballots. However, voters should be reminded, and I have no doubt you guys will remind them, that even when those whom we would want to vote for are not on ballots, we have a built-in safeguard on that if we choose to use it which is it doesn't matter who's on a ballot. We can still choose to write in whomever we want to. So that's something that voters need to be reminded of. So, yes, on one level, the primaries, I do believe, are meant to obstruct others from getting on a ballot, getting some recognition from being on a ballot. However, having said that, the coulda, woulda, shoulda, Michael, that you brought up, well, one of the things that I say all the time about that is we have zero excuse, and I mean zero, to not know what's happening on all levels of our government. We have more access to information probably than anywhere else in the world. So the question is, what are we doing with the information? Getting shocked is easy. The tougher part is doing something about it.
Absolutely. And I want to hear, Larkin, you were working the polls. How did you find yesterday's election?
Well, good morning, Michael, Rich, Mark, and Henry. I am calling in. I don't usually do that from the far reaches of just south of Allentown, PA, where I'm watching my 16-month-old granddaughter, who oftentimes is watching me, actually. But yesterday's election was outstanding. I'm a political hack. I'm willing to admit that. I watch these elections to see exactly the message that the electorate is sending. Yesterday was not a good day for the left side of center. It wasn't an exceptional day for the right side either, but Marjorie Margolis, who ran to have her seat back in Congress, is an in-law of the Clintons. The Clintons spent a tremendous amount of time in Philadelphia trying to help Margie to win that election so she could run against the Republican, and she got quite frankly got trounced. I believe she got 18% of the vote, while the winner, Mr. Boyle, a young lad, I don't even think he's 30, picked up about 56 or 58%. On the gubernatorial side, and I really don't want to bore our listeners who aren't from Pennsylvania, but these things are, the messages that are sent in these things can be so terribly interesting. There was a moderate Democrat that ran against what I would say would be three liberal Democrats, and the moderate Democrat, Tom Wolf, got almost 60% of the vote. His closest follower was the most liberal one, and Allison Schwartz, and she got 18%. I hope nobody holds me to those percentages. Those were early reports, so... It was a fascinating election, and for those political hacks who study and examine each one of the elections to see what message is being sent by the electorate, yesterday was one of those days where moderates did rather well and liberals did not.
And Larkin, how was the participation where you were?
I hate to go there. We have in my precinct, and one of the two adjoining precincts, there's three precincts to vote in and where I'm a judge of election. My home precinct is full of super voters, and a super voter is an individual who hasn't missed an election in 7 years or 10 years. I'm not sure which one, but somebody who votes is declared a super voter, and politicians have access to that list of super voters. Those are the ones you want to talk to, because those are the ones that, you know, regardless of the weather, regardless of the issues, they're going to show up and vote. We're full of super voters, so we did really, really well in the turnout. We had 18 lousy percent.
Wow.
One of the other precincts was in the 11% range. And the last one was like 12%. Now, typically, they were looking yesterday to get between 12 and 15% in the city of Philadelphia.
Now, Larkin, people that I spoke to in the last few weeks when I went out and said, come on, guys, I want you to make sure you go out and vote this week. I mean, Jersey doesn't vote for another week or two, and some other places, some of them already had their primaries. Others will be having it in June, July, and even in August. But I talk to people, and they say, well, the big problem is we're not talking about citizenship anymore in our schools, what it really takes to be a citizen, why it's important to go out and vote. America's young people are involved in voting on other things, the Voice and things like that, but they're not really concerned about who is out there representing the American people. And that's something that I think we really have to work to change. Because Larkin, quite frankly, we have 318 million people in the country, of which 230 million of them are American citizens over the age of 18 years old. Now, of the 230 million eligible citizens ready to vote, only 170 million are actually registered. And then you see the poor turnout. 72 million people, Rich, are Democrats. 55 million are Republicans registered, and 42 million are registered as independent, no party affiliation. But the scary part of it, the whole thing here, is that we have 60 million American citizens who are eligible to vote and do not vote, have never registered, and don't want to be bothered. And this is part of the problem. So those 60 million people could be influencing themselves, sons, daughters, family members to go out and do their thing. And all of the other 200 million people should all be on the list, not 170 million of them. And that's where we have a problem, Larkin.
To Richard's pleasure, he'll be glad to know that we had an exceptional turnout yesterday by independents and non-declares. That kind of amazed me. They got a chance to vote on three home rule issues and vote for a city council position, but not anything else in the party politics. And they came out anyway because they thought that the city council position was very important, and they thought the three home rule questions were very important. So they showed up. There was a huge number. There was not a huge number. There was a lot of communication, a lot of chatter at the polls about this Democratic-Republican thing. It's just ridiculous.
Yes, Larkin, I can't agree more with that. Now, would you say that we should start pressing, maybe we should start pressing, that the next primary should be open to all?
Yes. I mean, somewhere along the line, I think we have to make a declaration that the two-party system is, I think an open primary like that's a little bit of an assault on the two-party system. So we've got to be, and I know Rich is down there probably strangling himself. We've got to be willing to make a commitment to that. That change, that the two-party system is not the way we rule ourselves anymore, or at least we're going to start putting an emphasis on independents and non-declareds and give them a chance to choose who they want running against too. You know, I thought I was being funny yesterday when I said you have four really good candidates, and I thought they were good. I enjoyed watching the debates. And let's say three liberals against a moderate. And I said, you know, in England and a lot of other, quote-unquote, democracies or free countries, if you don't get a certain percentage of vote, you have a runoff. And the top two individuals run off. And I said, that would be fun to watch Knox, who was the leader at the time in the polls, run against number two. And Knox turned around and came up with 58% of the vote. So he won a very a moderate business leader without much political experience won out again. We did not. The Democrats did not nominate a professional politician.
You know, Larkin, from what I see, the people want a businessman in office, not just a politician who's going to know how to say words but not take actions to change business rules, to change taxes, to get the schools. He also spoke a lot about education, bringing programs where people are going to be able to educate themselves. I know a few people that are working at his campaign. So he is the type of man that really will make some major changes. And quite frankly, I think that politicians across the USA are going to have to take some direction from the way he ran his campaign.
Well, you know, funny enough, the emotional issues were never mentioned. They were never mentioned. I followed this campaign very closely because I was interested in the way these people were approaching it. The female McGinty, social issues, a lot of social issues about equality of wage and stuff like that. But they did not mention same-sex marriage the entire election. They did not mention at one juncture abortion clinics or birth, nothing. Those two issues weren't mentioned by one single individual, which indicates to me that in Pennsylvania they're kind of non-issues.
And yesterday, they approved the same-sex marriage
in
Pennsylvania. So, I mean, whether they had prior knowledge of how things might be going and just wanted to avoid the issue. And, of course, one of the candidates was, with abortion clinics and things like that over the years. So it was a very interesting election, and we're going to look for a very spirited election season and then a great election in November. And I think Tom Wolf, not being a political animal for years, is going to help make this election focus upon jobs, economy, overtaxing, get people out of their houses and back into the stores where we're going to get some business for our people to have, jobs. And this is the kind of thing he's going to focus on rather than the politics of throwing mud this way and that way.
And I'll just add, and we can stop talking about Pennsylvania politics because it's so eccentric. Tom Wolf will have a heck of a time beating an incumbent. Incumbents don't lose, especially in Pennsylvania. So he's going to have to do something exceptional to beat Corbett. He really is. Everybody talks about Corbett being back on his heels. You got to remember, in Pennsylvania, you've got Philadelphia in the east, you've got Pittsburgh in the west, and you have Alabama in between. And there are enough of votes in Pennsylvania, as they call it, to get any incumbent reelected. So it'll be a fun race. You're exactly right.
It's going to be very interesting.
It'll be fun to hear what they talk about, and it'll be fun to make them talk about what we want to talk about, which I think they'll do.
You know, guys, I wanted to also, as I was thinking of the amount of people, I was looking at our debt clock, and which is on the front page of American Workers Radio. Just go to that when you have an opportunity and observe each of the categories. But Mark, I'm going to say something to you. You're one of our heroes of getting out there and meeting new people and spreading the word about a lot of the messages. And everywhere I go, people say, this guy is unbelievable. And we were talking on Sunday. I was at an event on Sunday morning and on Sunday afternoon, and we were talking about America's population. And Mark, I just want to say that we have to look to be problem solvers. We have 318 million people in the USA. That means we have 318 million opportunities every day or every week to have these people support something American. What do you say to that?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I'm glad to hear your, the voting. There's some change going on. I want to tell you, Mike, I believe what you're talking about, and, I can make a difference. All the people that are listening can make a difference. I'd like to tell you a little story what happened to me a week ago that I didn't say last week on the radio. One of my guys that runs my shop, my plant manager, I've known him since 3 years old. went to kindergarten together. He dropped on our floor last Monday when I was out of town, and they didn't know what, but no breathing, nothing for 45 minutes. So I got the bad call when I was in Connecticut. But the good part of this story is my new team that we're trying to develop, two new guys that were helpful, came over and started to do CPR, didn't know what they were doing, but got involved and saved his life. Yesterday he's getting a defibrillator. He's coming home. He's got perfect health. They don't know what happened. But, you know, between all the people that prayed and the things, Mark's his name too, and he's coming back. But, you know, it made me think CPR, the country needs CPR, right? The country needs people to get involved. My two guys that saved his life got involved. They made the difference. They became the miracle. And I just wanted to bring that story up because I think it's what you're talking about, Mike.
Absolutely.
You know, people can make a difference. People can make change. People need to get involved. We talk about a lot of things. We get heavily into it, but it's pretty simple. You can create a miracle pretty quick. You know, even when we're talking about different people getting elected, if it's more independent, there's change happening. But, again, we all talk about the power of people. But two people could have walked by my buddy and said, heck, geez, that's a bad day. But two jumped in, and these guys only been with me for 4 weeks, both of them.
Oh.
And they got involved. And, you know, getting involved, making that difference is what we talk about every day. I mean, you can take it from a life or you can take it about saving our country, and that's what it's about.
Very good. Mark, well said. I mean to tell you, Nick, last week, I think Nick gave us an opportunity to hear a lot of positive things that could be done and should be done and will be done if all of us start working together on these issues. The days of just throwing the bull, I think, are really over. When people had jobs, you could blindside them. But today, we have in the United States of America, we have all these people. We really have 145 million people working. In order for us to be a good economy, we're supposed to have 187 million. That means we have a lot of people out of a job, over 40 million people. That makes a real difference. Those people could and should be able to support themselves, but the jobs are not there. So we have to do something about it. We are doing something about it. And, you know, when people tell me in my travels to thank Larkin about SCORE, and people do ask me, maybe we should have a seminar on what it takes to open a new business here online. Even maybe, Larkin, do a live broadcast here from our studio. Do something to let people know what they can do. Because I see the days of big, big factories are over. But small industries trading with small industries, I think, are the future. What do you say to that, Mark?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. You know, in when I say I changed our team here and our positive attitude, we believe. But I hired 15 people just over in the last 2 months, mostly welders, some inspectors. But, you know, we also took some regulation down. We took, you know, I wanted them to kind of be part of the team and involve the workers. You know, we're like the country's got so much regulation. You get everybody's head down. They don't, we get that, you know, no confidence in our spending power. And, you know, but here, you know, as a company, I lifted that, gave them more power. Gave a more positive attitude and got hired more helpful people. And we talk about that with voting. Vote qualified people in, businessmen that kind of understand the country as a business, and get that positive flow. We always talk about the can-do spirit we lost, dreaming again. But if you get people rolling in the right direction, to get the voting, you know, 15-18%, Larkin, is crazy that that's all the people that went out. We got to get that 50-60-70-80% involved, right? But it does work, you know, staying positive and getting that positive attitude going, especially with our younger people.
Very well said. Gentlemen, I have to pause for a few moments just to acknowledge some of the sponsors that go out of their way to make sure that they know we appreciate their sponsorship of our broadcast. And they include Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, who has his office at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond. You can call Mr. Mankowski at 215-739-8521. And if you have any type of auto body repairs, remember that Mr. Chester Kshanowski is a faithful supporter of our broadcast 7 days a week here on 860. And he has two locations, Serena's Auto Body Shop and Serena's Collision Center. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For all of your auto body repair needs, call 215-535-6606. And don't forget the Net Cost Market. They're located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. That's at Byberry Road and Busselton Avenue, where you will find a great selection of American and European style products. And the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as a very special organization, has been serving Polonia throughout the United States for 130 years. For more information, contact their main office at 1-800-772-8632. And Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices, one in Center City, Philadelphia, the other in Northeast Philadelphia. Call Michael Steinman at 215-564-1866. And Dr. Eva Machak wants you to walk around with a great smile. She has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. One is at 3084 Armingo Avenue. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street in Philadelphia. For more information, you can call 215-739-2787. And also, I'd like to note that Polish American Travel Service has their office located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. For more information, give them a call at 215-634-3396. And whenever you're out shopping and you're looking for some great mozzarella sticks, remember, Giorgio Foods is a symbol of quality since 1928. Look for their products anywhere in the USA where you shop, and they have great mushroom can products. Check them out at the place where you shop. Okay, let's return back to our broadcast, and I'm going to ask Rich if he would just take another minute to give us an update on his dealings with Nick last week.
Guys, I'm listening and taking notes about everything going on, and you know, I spoke with Nick actually after our broadcast last week, and the biggest challenge is really, Michael, I think, in that segment of the population that doesn't vote. And you know, one of the very effective strategies by the two major parties in relation to trying to quash and obstruct competition has been that, you know, voters don't, and this is true of human nature, right? Voters don't want to go with the loser. And when you have alternative parties, third parties, independents, whomever, who are going to run up against the two major parties, we focus only on the end result. Can this person win? Can this person not win? If you look at a Ross Perot, if you look at Ralph Nader, if you look at how Jesse Ventura years ago won in Minnesota as governor, if you look just recently at the Minneapolis mayoral race, there were 35 candidates in that race. And if you look at how we can promote competition, and you take just this mayoral race, which just recently happened, what it really does is it does pretty much turn upside down the two-party theory that too many candidates makes things too chaotic, too messy. My answer to that is, well, first off, so what, even if it did? We as consumers love the fact that we have choice in essentially any product that we go and buy. You guys name any product on this. Mark, I don't think your business plan is, okay, let's reduce the number of products we have, and let's just sell three or four of them. I don't think that's your business plan, right, Mark?
Not at all.
Okay, you're looking to add to the inventory, which, by the way, I want to tell you, Mark, I wanted to mention to you that I've got something for your inventory. We have to talk about that off air.
We'll
talk about that. So the point, Michael, is this. That segment of the population that you mentioned who do not vote, that is where there needs to be a renewed and honest conversation about why is it that those who don't vote, don't vote. And then there, complementary to that, there needs to be an honest, renewed conversation about why so many of those who do vote, I don't care what they're registered as. That to me is a bunch of BS. I've been hearing about independence, Michael, since Perot, since Nader, Gary Johnson 2 years ago. I haven't seen it translate into the votes, though. So I want to know why our voters are not going out there and voting. And I think Nick actually touched upon it very well. You need to get people excited. It's tough. I understand it is. But you get people excited about the kind of influence that they can have as opposed to the fostering of the victim mentality that we have as voters. Well, I don't vote because it doesn't matter. Well, I vote for the Republican or Democrat because it's lesser of two evils. We need to turn that upside down. And, guys, if you see voters start doing it, forget the end result. If enough people come to vote for Nick, if enough people come out and vote for independence in any election at any level, you will see the two parties, they will take notice, just like they did when Ross Perot ran in 92. They changed up the debates, and they made it more difficult for third parties and independents to get into the debates after Perot in 92. He had a huge influence, even though he didn't get a single electoral vote. We're more ready today, guys. We're more ready today to challenge the duopoly, I believe, than ever before. Because I've been hearing about it, Michael, for a decade plus. Oh, the two parties are corrupt. Oh, the two parties this and that. But it was still convenient to say, well, one's a little better than the other. I would challenge the thought that one is better than the other. And you know, even if we could argue one is a little better than the other, it still doesn't excuse the fact that they obstruct competition in our elections and government of all levels. And this is a good topic to bring up with the primaries and what's happened, because people are going to talk about it, Michael, for a day or two, and we got to remind them to not forget about that.
Absolutely. But, you know, Rich, I brought this subject up because it fits into my going out on these visitations this past weekend. Just as the two-party system tried to knock down all the competition, that's exactly what the national merchandisers are doing to kill our American business. They're trying to flood the American market with all these products so that our people here that are running the businesses can't afford to put competitive products on the street. So what they're doing is they're taking away our opportunity to sell a competitive product at a half-decent price. They're just saying, no, your party is not going to be able to help you. I can't sell to your store because you're not going to be able to buy in big enough quantities and all. I think what Mark is doing by taking on these products, circulating them through his warehouse system, through his store, is showing a whole new process of networking.
And, Mike, I'd like to bring up, you know, this past Saturday we just had our four-year Made in America store anniversary at our flagship store in Alma. Nice people came out. The weather broke for us in Buffalo. We had 60 degrees. Rich, that's pretty good, 60 by us, you know. So the weather was right. But a lot of people love what we're doing. They come back. They shop. We've got 6,500 products. But, you know, when I came back from the National Hardware Retail Show, it's kind of sad. We're excited. We're just hooking up. We got the first light bulb. And you know, the only manufacturer I met, the president of the manufacturing company, and then the only garbage bag I found, we finally got a garbage bag in our store, and then the only screwdriver. I met a guy at the hardware store, 125-year-old company, but it's the only screwdriver. But it's really sad that we've got that low. A lot of people don't realize to only find the first light bulb in the last company, the first garbage bag and screwdriver in the last companies is very, very sad. But like you said, we made a difference. The movement's on. Change is coming. But we should have never got this far. And I think, Rich, you said it real well with voting. It's not what party. It's just get involved. I mean, make this change. And I think it's an exciting time because things are on the move. The manufacturing is coming back, and it has to come back. But it's so sad that we got this low, and I hope my store is always an example, like the flag of America. We never get there again.
Never again. And Larkin can tell you, because I know that Larkin's been around in a few different business situations. I'm sure, Larkin, you saw us go from major manufacturing areas to ghost towns.
Well, the famous one I quote all the time, Michael, is it's Philadelphia. And I think that is endemic of the rest of the world, and that is to go from 398,000 manufacturing jobs 35 years ago to 23,000 today is a major indication of the way it has gone in this country. And there are so many empty buildings in Philadelphia. It's just crazy. So we're positioned to bring them back. We just have to find the people that are willing to invest the money and take the risk.
And Larkin, do you agree that a lot of smaller operations are going to take over?
Yes. Yeah, the day of the small business and the small manufacturer is coming. All we really have to accomplish at this point is to get the government to understand that we have to make some capital, make capital accessible to these people who want to grow these businesses.
You know, Larkin, over the weekend, somebody brought up to me, which I completely forgot about. You had mentioned someone that you had mentored with a facial cream or something. They said, whatever happened to that person? I said, well, I don't know. I'll ask Larkin. Do you remember that position? You said somebody came with a little jars of facial cream.
Wow. I've got 35 clients, and for the life of me, I can't pull that off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
I think he had just gotten out of prison, in fact. He was working on some product.
I mean, I know you took it over to your wife, and you said, what would you do with it?
Whoa. Yes. Well, yes. This is a primary. I'm sorry. This is a primary example of what the government needs to do, state, local, and federal. This guy's still in search of the initial investment capital, and he could probably start this and bring it to fruition and with probably $25,000 to $30,000, and it's just impossible to find that amount of money. And yet, again, don't want to get political or nasty or anything. There's that kind of money laying all over the place that is heretofore going out to disability claims and other entitlements that just, you know, make you mad when you see people collecting them. It's not like we have to go out and invent the money or print it. The money's there. We just need to redirect it from giving people hand up than rather than to give them a handout.
Absolutely. And Larkin, I want to tell you, that is the message I get from everywhere I go. People say this has gone too far. No one wants to be on welfare. Can you imagine a young person, 40 years old, what do they do after they've been unemployed for a year and a half? Their unemployment runs out. What's next? They have to go to some other type of public support. Can you imagine that person with two children or three children starting out with a job and then having to end up in that situation? Not good. I was really pleased and I brought that up because I am impressed by the things that people remember about our broadcast. People were so impressed last week with Nick being a 24-year-old person able to be so perfectly presented of himself. They said if he was running for Congress in our area, I would be the first to go out and vote for him. I'll be there 7 o'clock when the door opens. And that cheered me up. And that's the kind of people we have to look for. So Rich, I mean, as a journalist and a businessman, I'm sure you were impressed. I made sure that I told everybody possible to listen to it if they weren't able to listen live. The good old days are over. When I discussed the Buy American Made campaign with people, people said, well, they sort of took things for granted over the years. They thought that new jobs would always become available as time passed. And now that they see the good old days are gone, they know we mean business. We have to do something, and we are doing it. People who thought 5 years ago this message was going to be dead in 2 to 6 months see it now, and they say, it's really the message that all the political people, all the business people, and all the American people have to get behind.
And Mike, it only takes 5%. You know, if you went out and bought 5% of what you're buying now in a Made in America product, it creates a million jobs. When I went last week, Monday, Tuesday, down through Connecticut from Hartford to Waterbury to Bridgeport, it was sad. I mean, Waterbury was the brass capital of the world. All the brass came from it. Bridgeport had Bridgeport mills and machines, and then you had the sewing machine. The Singer sewing machine was invented there. And I see the Remington plant, 32,000 people. All the plants are still there. It's like Philadelphia or Pittsburgh or Buffalo. But it's so sad that we were so strong at once and then buildings are still standing there. But we can get there again. Like they told me in Bridgeport, there was 160 manufacturers back then, but they had 20,000 to 30,000 people. Now you have 150 manufacturers with 10 people maybe. But, you know, it's a start. But it's just sad where we were. But we've just got to learn for it from that and go forward.
Some of our, I think back and I remember, I forget what they called the blue laws, the Sunday blue laws.
Yes.
Grocery stores weren't open. Nothing. It was a day to stay home, to go to church and be with your family, and the whole world came to a standstill. That was the Lord's Day, and that's gone away. I mean, people start opening at 7 in the morning on a Sunday without regard to family or anything else. But I was recalling to the people at the poll yesterday in a conversation during one of the lulls, about what voting used to be. In Pennsylvania, a bar wasn't allowed to be open ever if a poll was open.
That's right, till the polls were closed. That's right.
They closed them down. And as soon as the poll closed, well, then you could go get a beer. And I know that my father, who was somewhat of an activist, and other people would load up a couple cases of cold beer in the back of the car and go out and pick up voters, give them a beer, and tell them, go on in and vote. And that's why those numbers were the way they were back then. Now, you know, blue law, schmoo law. I mean, they just, the bars paid absolutely no attention. They're all open. There's nothing done to encourage people to accept the responsibility that they have as citizens to cast their vote.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's no motivation. People say, I saw so many ads on TV, I don't know what to do. I don't know who to vote for, so I'm not going to vote. And I say, well, that's no excuse. I said, you must have been impressed by someone. I try not to tell you exactly my thought because I want no one to have an excuse that he's focused on making me vote the way he wants me to vote. I don't want to do that. I encourage people very much to look at the candidates. And this time around, Larkin, Mark and Rich, they did a good job presenting themselves on TV. This was not mainly a mudslinging operation.
It got dirty at the end.
Yeah, it got right. Pretty ugly. Once they saw the poll numbers, they started to get a little vicious.
Right.
Yeah,
but you're right. That all in all, it wasn't the mudslinging that we're used to. I mean, you can't watch a national, a local election without mudslinging. And I mean, slinging mud that's just awful. I mean, just awful.
There was a ad on TV regarding a particular elected official, but they had to pull it down. It was a person sitting with all 50s and 100s on the edge of the desk. And then someone came in and said, oh, it's hot in here. And they turned the fan on. And the next thing you know, the person was just buried in 50s and 100s because the fan blew all the money around. Those kinds of ads didn't get, you know, a lot of good reception this time around. People wanted to know not only the fact that the guy had a good life as a result of being in politics, but what is this person who's running against him going to do other than slam him to try to get people to, you know, look badly upon the guy? Tell us what you're going to do. What are you going to do to get people off welfare? What are you going to do to improve the school system? I think that this time around, Katie McGinty and everybody else spoke very highly about education. I was really pleased with what they had to say.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And we go back to the great show that we had with the mayor of Allentown. And decided he was going to run for governor. And when he saw Tom Wolf get in the race, and Wolf announced that he was going to spend between $6 and $10 of his own $1 million of his own money, what did he do? He got out of the race fast enough to
Well, Mark, that's why people are very impressed with you. That you put your head on a chopping block because you believed in something. And that is exactly what this Tom Wolf did. He believed in change. He put his own money up so people could not say, oh, he's just a big fancy politician. He was not a politician. He worked a little bit as a secretary in government, but he was not an elected politician. So he's coming in with a fresh new idea, Larkin. Do you agree with that?
Well, he does have some fresh ideas. I will say he was the biggest culprit of all that did my pet peeve, which is I'm for jobs. Well, you know what? You know, I'm for religion, but, you know, so how are we going to get there? You can't be for jobs. You just can't be. You have to be for the economy. You have to be for some element or layer of creation. Jobs is an outcome. It's not a request. Jobs is what happens when you do something right.
Right.
When you go out and improve the economy or set the table for jobs to be created. You can't be for jobs. It's like saying I'm for cars. You know, it's an outcome. And they keep on talking about the outcome like it's the activity. I'm for jobs. Well, so am I. Everybody's for jobs.
But I want to say that I'm going to urge everyone to get a registration and register to vote so that come November, we will have a big amount of people out at the polls. And I'd like to see all those 60 million that have never registered become part of the system.
We invite you to check out the Go for USA mobile app, which is a mobile application and online database which pinpoints where you can purchase American-made goods and that allows consumers to upload product information simply by scanning the UPC code. Consumers eager to help create American jobs by searching for and buying U.S. products and services now have what they need right in the palm of their hand. Check this great app out. It is a free download on Flag Day weekend, June 14th and 15th, the Memorial Day weekend, the three-day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday Memorial Day weekend, as well as the three-day 4th of July weekend. You heard it here first. Check them out and become a part of the mobile army of consumers to benefit the entire American-made community. Khalil and his staff at the Liberty Bell Diner, located at 8445 Frankfort Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, invite you to stop in for a 15% VIP discount when you tell them American Workers Radio sent you. Give them a call at 215-331-4344. All-day delivery is available. They are also excited about the opening of their walk-up window where you can pick up your favorite cold treats and desserts. And our friends at Lubemaster would like to welcome you to stop down to their location at 6120 Frankfort Avenue, right next to the Burger King near Frankfort and Harbison. Their number is 215-535-5322. Stop on in today for oil changes, inspections, and any major auto tune-up. Open Monday to Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. They would like to offer you a 10% discount on any service with the mention of this ad. Phil's Hair Styling is located at 4401 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia. Their experienced, friendly staff are there to serve you 6 days a week for all styles for men, women, and children. Facial and waxing services are also available. Call them today at 215-535-8997 and let them know you heard about their ad on our program for a 10% off discount. Stop on in or call them today. And the staff at Pat's Auto Tags, which has three convenient locations to serve you within the Philadelphia area, invite you to come visit them. They are located at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section, which has direct link same-day service with the DMV. Give them a call today at 215-427-1832. Their location at 5501 Harbison Avenue. Their number is 215-533-2220. And their location at 400 East Allegheny Avenue, where you can contact their on-site insurance broker, Mr. Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. Contact them today at 215-423-5266. For more information, give them a call or stop in at any of their convenient locations and tell them we sent you.
Thanks, Stephen, and I would just like to note that these are very faithful supporters of our community, supporting National Small Business Weekend and all efforts to get people back to work. Also, best wishes to all from Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, and his office is located on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Philadelphia. For more information, give him a call at 215-575-7624. And also, I want to remind you that State Farm Insurance handles auto, home, and life insurance. You can call Karen Janod at State Farm Insurance at 215-862-5490. And Dr. Vojimesh Zinn and Everest Dental is located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Philadelphia. For more information, you can call Dr. Zinn at 215-671-0188. And the Polish National Alliance is America's largest national life insurance organization with representatives across the United States of America. For more information, call the PNA at 1-800-621-3723. And Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings Bank, reminds you they have five locations in Philadelphia to serve you. You can give their main office a call for complete details about all of their locations. Give them a call at 215-698-9400. And for all of your legal services, remember Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law. She serves clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. For more information, give her a call at 215-423-4824. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to all of you that are spreading the word about our efforts here on American Workers Radio. We have done an enormous amount of good. I want to thank Rich, Mark, Larkin, and all of the people who have been working on getting the message out to the people in the USA. After 30 years of job losses, it's certainly going to take a lot of focus and consistency to recoup the jobs Americans need. But with the growing number of people that we have on our side, on the American-made movement side, we're really starting to have some results. And with that, I'd like to turn our broadcast back over to Mark. And Mark, what else is happening new in where you are, and what do you see in the industries?
Well, I'd like to bring up, we haven't talked about Memorial Day, and I think that's very important. Again, we do a ton with our veterans, and my godson's back overseas. He's a C-17 pilot. But I would like to bring that up, Mike, and I think it's a very important day, not only, you know, to fly your flag this weekend, but to remember those lost, for our freedom. So we celebrate. Of course, all the stores are, actually open, and people like to come visit during this time of the year, and we've seen more buses. It's the start of summer also. But, I just like to remind the audience to, remember, thank a soldier when you see him and fly that flag. And honor those who gave their lives for us. We've got a lot going on with our stores. Summer's starting up here a little slow, a little cool, but it's nice to see a lot of movement. We've got new products coming in the store, a lot of them that we've seen at the National Hardware Retail Show in Vegas. So it's nice we're adding new products. Like you said, Rich, we always got to add products, always got to grow, always got to mix it up a little bit. But people are shopping. We've got dedicated customers that only shop at our store, which is beautiful. They won't shop nowhere else. So that's something we built over the last 4 years. And just like to encourage the people to keep that up, keep looking, raise that awareness. Complain, Mike, like you go in and you say, hey, well, why don't you have this made in America? Because it works. And I want to make sure people realize that power they have just by asking and raising awareness to other people.
Mark, I heard this morning on the news that a couple of the companies are going to stop bringing in pet food from foreign countries. And I said to myself, can't we even take care of our own American pets on our side of the ocean?
That's a big we've got pet. There's been a lot of problems with that pet food. Did you guys notice in the USA Today, the front cover on the indictments on the Chinese military officials for stealing the different hacking our
yes.
different intellectual properties from Westinghouse to U.S. Steel, all that. Did you guys catch that?
Yes. Rich, did you see that?
I've got the article, Mark. I've not read it yet, though.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's kind of what they're good at, the Chinese, stealing things, right?
Well, I think it's time for us to reinvent the wheel. Someone says, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. I think it's time to reinvent the wheel. I'd like to see many of the products that have no representation in the USA. You mentioned about light bulbs. I'd like to see those companies come forward. People who are looking to invest or expand here in the USA, let's start getting the people behind them looking for their products, demanding their products, knowing that they're being made here in the USA. I know in the stores that I go to, the managers, I call them over and complain about everything. And they say, yes, we have talked to our merchandisers. A lot of change is being made. You're going to see change happening, not next year, but each month, because more stuff is starting to be circulated. Mark, you mentioned you were at the hardware show. How many items at that show did you never see before?
Yeah, you know, it was impressive. We're coming back and we're getting emails and calls from people we've met. It's neat. A lot of the new inventions, Larkin, you'd like it, the entrepreneurs in the new invention areas, coming up with ideas here. A lot of the injection molded plastic, no reason it has to be made overseas, coming back here. I've seen a lot more products, Mike, and a lot more awareness, a lot more people bragging, putting a symbol up, made in America. It really was a statement there in front of, you know, again, 29,000 buyers. 3 years ago, they couldn't. You didn't want to mention Made in America. You know, they're afraid it might offset the global economy. But now they're proud of it. And we always talk about 50-50 fair trade. I think it's so sad there's one light bulb manufacturer left. There should be 20, 30, 40, 50% made here for self-sufficiency. It's good to support the country you live in.
And, you know, it's also a bad example for our kids to look at their stuff and see this is made foreign and not be able to access anything that is made in America. So we're changing things around. The election changed the minds of people. We are changing the minds of people to look for American made, speak up. Those who were very sheepish in the past tell me that they're becoming, like almost animated to go into the store and start complaining. And it's good to hear some of the salespeople say, oh yeah, everybody's complaining these days about no American made. What's American made? And then you get some of the people behind the stands that say, oh, well, what's the difference? And when I start to tell them the difference, I say, you're not going to have a job in another year or two if that type of situation doesn't change. Because what you're selling now is maybe 10% American made and 90% foreign made. If the foreigners come in with more products and knock out our American made items, you're going to have nothing in here to sell to someone like me who's looking for American made. So your business is going to go down.
Mike, like to bring up the American-made movie.
Sorry, Mark, go ahead.
The American-made movie, the DVD, will be available within days, so I'll let you guys know. I'll get you a copy, and also I'll let you know how we can promote that. But the American-made movie is on the move and doing real well. Go ahead.
I know, and Nick, I know Nick wanted to get a copy of that. Yes, Rich, you were going to say something.
Guys, real quick, since we're a few minutes here, one of the things that I'm always trying to encourage people to think differently about, when we talk about these political issues, economic issues, one of the common responses is, you know, Rich, you're right, but, and typically what's followed up with that is, we're still, all things considered, the best country, still the best place to be. First off, I've never disputed that, but even if true, and I believe it is, why is that way of thinking a reason to still turn a blind eye to so many of the urgent, pressing issues that are on the table all throughout the country?
Yes.
So Mark, it's like if you came on the show and said, well, guys, listen, I had a good month of April. I'm going to take the rest of the year off. We might send a straitjacket to your store and figure out what's going on with Mark Andel. Why do we take this way of thinking and say, well, Rich, yeah, but we're still – and as our sound engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, once said to me, which I've thought about often and repeated, when others have said, you know, Rich, things won't change until there's 90% unemployment and there's no food, there's no milk for the kids, why would we want to wait until that point?
Right.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I hate to tell you, but the clock on the wall says that we must say goodbye. I wish all of you an enjoyable holiday weekend. Remember, it is Memorial Day weekend. Go out and support those local activities, promoting the fact that many people gave their lives for America. Until next Saturday at 11, or next Wednesday at 11, or any day during this week, I wish you the very best. Happy holiday, and spread the word.
Have a great week, guys.